Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, Music Director at Casey Cafe Radio. We're very happy to welcome back New York native Roger Street Freeman on Casey Cafe Radio. Roger recently released his second full-length album, Shoot the Moon. This new album still has the trademark Roger Street Freeman intimate and introspective lyrics, but Shoot the Moon is full of more hooks and memorable melodies in the jazz, blues, R&B, and rock genres in this wonderfully produced album. Thanks so much, Roger, for taking the time to talk with me here on Casey Cafe Radio.
It's absolutely my pleasure to be with you.
Last time we talked about the Waiting Sky album. How long after you finished the Waiting Sky did you start on Shoot the Moon?
Well, I guess it was about 2 years. So the summer of 2015, I believe, we started recording Shoot the Moon. So just about 2 years and 6 months after releasing. It was a year. Really bad at math, about a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
So The Waiting Sky was released in January of 2014, and we were back in the studio in July of 2015 recording basic tracks.
And so The Waiting Sky was your first album, right? That was the first one you recorded?
First one, yep.
So what kind of lessons did you learn from that album that you applied to the new one, Shoot the Moon?
Well, there were a number, really. I think the first lesson is really to, it's all about the songs, you know. I really tried to work on the songs and narrow it down to the best of a new batch of songs that I had been working on in the interim between the two records. So Felix McTeague and I spent some time going through them and deciding which ones were best and just sort of tweaking the arrangements and whatnot. One thing that differs on this album is I really didn't have a band going into the first album. I sort of put one together for the recording. And then after The Waiting Sky was released, I put together a band and we started playing and touring. And then that band was with me as I was writing the new songs. And so a lot of the songs were worked out with the band and were a little bit more fully fleshed out by the time we got into the studio.
Where did you guys record this album?
Actually, in my basement, in my home studio.
That's a pretty nice studio then.
Yeah, it's sort of the studio of my dreams. I've always wanted to have a full-fledged room in my basement. In 2012, when we moved out to Long Island, there was space to do it, and I went kind of whole hog, and maybe I went a little crazy, but we actually built two rooms. You know, there's a control room and a studio room, and it's all treated acoustically. I was into recording in a prior life, and so I had a lot of gear that I was able to pull together and then add some new gear and really make a nice studio. And we did record it through a system called Clasp, which actually syncs up the digital recording with analog recording. So it all goes through tape before it hits the Pro Tools, so you get that nice warmth of tape.
Yeah, I do hear that. I notice most digital recordings have that, sort of that digital sound. My first album I did on cassette tape, and then The second one was on 2-inch tape, or maybe it was 1-inch tape. It was 1-inch tape. And then the last one we did was a digital recording, and I really like the other two recordings better because the digital just sounds mechanical, you know. It doesn't have that warmth, like you said. So
got a certain something. It's, it's like the X Factor, you know.
Right, yeah.
And we really played the tracks as a band, you know. We didn't really do, and then overdubbed some stuff. It's got that, you know, nice live feel.
Yeah.
Which I like about it as well. It's very human.
Yeah. Did you produce this or did you have a producer on this album?
Well, I had a producer, Felix McTeague, who produced the last album. He and I more or less co-produced it. We work really well together I'm not a big fan of self-producing because I don't think you have the objectivity that you need. You know, you need somebody in the room to say, no, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible idea. So we have a great working relationship, and it's been about 4 years that we've been working together now. And I trust him, and he's got just he recently had a number one hit single with the Florida Georgia Line. So he's a very accomplished songwriter. So that he brings that to the table as well. So he and I co-wrote a number of the songs on the record. And yeah, just a really, really nice relationship.
So how long did it take you guys to do this one?
From start to finish was about a year and a half. It could have been sooner, but a lot of it has to do with schedules and getting musicians in and that kind of thing. And I also really took my time with the vocals. And being that the studio was in my house, you know how it is as a singer. You're not always, you know, it changes from day to day. So you might have a great day one day and not such a great day the next day. So I really dug into the singing on this. It probably took me 6 months to get all the tracks done. I did a lot of experimenting stylistically and really exploring my voice. And I think I grew a little bit as a singer on this one. And I'm continuing to evolve. So that was really a nice thing about having the studio in the house. You know, in the old days when people made records, they just moved into the studio and worked until it was,
right.
And I don't think these days artists have that luxury so much, unless you've got an unlimited budget, which very few artists do. So it was great because I really saw the result of being able to just take as much time as I needed to take to get it done.
Right. That's the luxury of recording at home and having your own recording studio in your house as nice as yours. That's awesome.
I don't love singing with other people in the room, believe it or not. I like to be here by myself, feel less inhibited. So that was a nice thing, too. I have a little remote control that I could control the system with and be in the studio room singing. So that was helpful for me.
Would you take your vocals and then play it for your producer and say, what do you think of this? And would he give you feedback on it? Or were vocals totally your domain?
No, I would basically do the track and then, you know, comp something together and then send it to him for his feedback.
Yeah, I think it's, even with vocals, it's good to always get feedback and say, maybe you need to punch that word a little bit more.
Exactly.
And so you talked about you kind of gathered a band after the last album and used them on this album. Who are the musicians that play on this album?
So Jim Toscano plays drums, and Jim and I actually played together way back in the 90s. He's just rock solid, you know, phenomenal drummer. When I moved to Seacliff, I met the guitar player and bass player in the band, and I think they're two of the most outstanding musicians I have had the honor to play with. Matt Schneider plays bass. He was a professional bassist in a symphony orchestra, then had a family and moved to Seacliff from Brooklyn and started teaching and playing bass in various bands. Feel very lucky to have him, and he's also a great singer. And Frank Ferrara, who plays pretty much all the lead guitar on the album, is just one of the best guitar players I've ever had the pleasure to work with. Concetta Abate is also on the record. She plays fiddle and does some of the background vocals. But I also had a lot of guest vocalists. Amy Helm sings backup on two of the tracks. I've had Ari Hest, who's a phenomenal singer-songwriter, is singing on a number of the tracks. Eleanor Masterson, I believe, did some background vocals. And Paradise, Fiona McBain, sang background vocals. She was in Olabel with Amy Helm. And then I had some horn section on some of the tracks are Jay Collins and Baron Raymond and Matt Gallahan, who are just top-notch horn players.
Yeah, I love the horn section on this album. The first song in the album just kicks off with this beautiful horn section just rocking it out. It blows your ears out, you know? It's such a fun way to start the album, and you take notice right away when you hear that song, and you're just like, wow, this is going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, Jay Collins, who has a great resume, he's a sax player, and he did the horn arrangements for that song, Puffs of Smoke, and also Shoot the Moon. And he was touring with Greg Allman right up until Greg passed away.
Oh.
And Matt Gallahan is just, he's the trumpet player, and he's done work for everybody. Like, he's played with the Stones. He did some arranging for Gloria Estefan and playing on her records. And also, one of his most famous solos is he plays the trumpet on Bowie's Let's Dance.
Oh, really?
A lot of cred.
No kidding. That's very cool.
He's a friend of mine through another life connections.
Why did you guys decide to use a horn section on this album?
Well, I just love the sound of horns. And one of the things that was very inspiring to me when I first started back on the path of writing and recording music was I went up to Levon Helm's barn before he passed away and even afterwards and saw his band. And they just had such a great horn section. You know, they would play some band songs and all different kinds of covers, and they wouldn't always have the horn section on the songs, but when the horns came out, it just took the whole thing to another level.
Mm-hmm.
On the first record, on The Waiting Sky, I really wanted to have a horn section, so we brought in Jay Collins on that one, too, with a couple of other fabulous players. And he told the story about how Levon said, "It ain't a band unless you get the horns."
It definitely punches it up a lot. It gives it that extra little, I don't know, something that... You know, I just love the sound of this particular horn section. Did you guys record them a certain way?
Technically, we used individual mics on each of the horns, but also a stereo mic in the room. So we captured a lot of the room sound. And we used ribbon mics on the section. And I think that really makes it a nice warm. It still has the brightness, but it is a little warmer than it would be with a dynamic or with a condenser mic. And it was recorded to tape as well.
We can hear the genuineness of the horn section, you know. It's definitely not a keyboard trying to play horns, you know. It's definitely a horn section, so.
We also had a phenomenal keyboard player, Jason Crosby, who is just one of the most talented musicians that I know. He's currently playing with Phil Lesh and the Family Band, and he was gracious enough to carve out some time to come down and record. And then I don't know if you've heard of a band called Antigone Rising, but they're another local C-Cliff band. And Nene Camps is just a great singer, and she took the background vocals and did all the background vocals on Puffs of Smoke at her studio, which are, you know, really cool.
I want to ask you a little bit about the writing of the songs, because that's really what it all starts with, right? Is the songwriting itself. On The Waiting Sky, a lot of the songs were really personal, about the birth of your child and the death of your father. Is there personal songs on Shoot the Moon as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all personal. You know, like there's a song called Pour Me Another, and it's what I tried to do with this song. I mean, the song was country song about Texas and about how you can't go home again. But really, it's about my parents no longer being around. It was all images from my own home. I didn't grow up in Texas. I grew up on Long Island, you know. I think I wanted to try to explore telling stories that weren't necessarily obviously about my life. But, of course, they're all drawn from my life because that's my experience. Puffs of Smoke is sort of about the passing of time, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I actually wrote it on a bit of a rockin' hangover. You know, it's one of those mornings where feeling like I just couldn't do anything because I was so cloudy. And it's really about life going by. And that's very personal when you get to be in your, you know, mid-50s and you have two kids and you see them growing up and you start to hear about your friends of yours who maybe are not doing so well, or some people are depressed and some people are sick. And it's, you know, it's just about how life is short. It comes and it goes, just like Puffs of Smoke. So it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's personal in the sense that it covers topics that I think about. You know, a lot of these songs I think of, or some of the songs, like a song like Every Day, I think about as sort of a meditation to myself on just doing the best I can and putting one foot in front of the other and making the most out of my life. You know, I mean, we're all here for a very short time. Every song in its way is very personal.
It sounds like, to me, the album is an album of maybe the celebration of life, because in a lot of ways the songs are about living life to the fullest and appreciating life.
Absolutely. The title track is kind of about, it's a funny story, because I had the groove and the chords and everything, and I just wrote all of these words. And I was thinking that the words were really just placeholders until I could write the real words. And then I went back and I realized that the song was actually finished. It came out basically whole. And it was almost like I subconsciously wrote this autobiographical song about getting back to the music, you know, about how I needed to just stop wasting time because life is short and you got to start doing your thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we all write from a certain perspective. And a lot of it is very personal.
So on the album, I noticed that you did a music video for the song Every Day. Where was that video shot, and why did you decide to do a music video for that song?
Well, that was the song we decided would be the first single. Uh-huh. I just felt it had a really happy, upbeat message and would be a fun video. And Laura Crosta, who shot a video for my last record for the song Time to Fly, came up with the concept. So it was pretty cool. We shot it in my hometown here of Seacliff and had a bunch of friends come down to the bar and just went all over Main Street. And actually, there's a cameo in that, in one of the interior scenes where I'm writing with this hip hop artist named Sir the Baptist, just released an album on Atlantic. He's a friend. So it's pretty cool. A lot of neat elements in there.
It's a fun video. I like the video a lot. And you can tell it's professionally done. You know, everything you do is just top notch. Very impressive. Another track that I like on the album is Hideaway. Can you tell me about that song?
Yeah, that song came about, it's a co-write with Felix and Big Al Anderson, who is with NRBQ and has written a lot of great songs for all kinds of country artists, all kinds of artists, actually. And I was at the Durango Songwriting Festival, and a mutual friend introduced me and Al, and we got together in a room, and I brought him a song I had been working on. It was a ballad, and he said, no, it's got to be way faster. He started playing this right-hand guitar thing really fast, and I was like, gee, I don't even know if I could play the guitar that fast. But we came up with the progression and the sort of the rough melody, and then I went back home and tried to finish it. I said I'd go work on the lyrics, and it took me a while, but ultimately I got it written, and it was one of the songs I played with Felix, and he and I kind of worked on the verses. I wrote the verses, and he and I tweaked them. That is the one song actually on the record that is not tracked with the band. It came about after all the basic tracks were done. So I just did an acoustic guitar part to a click and sent it off to John O'Reilly, who plays drums on that track. And he's a phenomenal drummer. On the first record, he played a lot of the drum tracks. And then we built up the tracks. Felix actually produced that song pretty much by himself. Rich Hinman, who plays with Sarah Bareilles, is doing a lot of the guitars and the bass on that track. And, you know, that's a very personal song, too. I mean, it's really, you know, I think one of the things about where I was on the first record, as you said, my dad had passed away and my mom and my daughter was born, and specifically about those things. And then after you have a baby and now you have a third person in the relationship and all of the stresses and strains of life come to the fore. So it brings up other issues between you and your significant other. So some of this album are personal in the fact that they're about sort of relationship issues. And, you know, the song Tomorrow is a good example of that. It was sort of just about a particularly rough patch when we were just, no matter what we did, we just kept being at each other's throats, which is all passed by. But
yeah, it never happens anymore, right?
We never fight.
I know that.
I think everybody who's in a relationship.
And you're like, why? Sometimes you fight about the most inane things, and you're like, why are we fighting about this?
Absolutely. I really like that song, Hideaway, too. I particularly like the vocals and the track on that one. It's really a nice sound.
And I noticed, like, just from song to song, you change genres a lot, but sometimes even within the same song, you hear, like, a blues feel to the song, and then you listen again, and you hear more of a rock vibe to it, and you listen again, and there's maybe a jazzy feel to it, just in, like, in one song. How do you combine all those genres into one song?
You know, I don't know. I guess I have a lot of influences, you know, I love so much music, you know, it's just what I write and the way I write. That's a hard question to answer. But I guess when I sit down, a lot of the times I'm starting with the guitar, and it sort of all depends on that, on what direction I go. If it's starting out with a bluesy 13th chord, for instance, as opposed to just a straight up G major, you know, with a country kind of a feel or a country feel, you know, I guess it's whatever mood I'm in when I'm.
Yeah, I know it's an impossible question to answer, but it was just, I mean, it's just something I noticed, you know, listening to your music that, you know, you not only use a lot of different genres on the album itself, but just the songs themselves can have several genres within them. And if someone asked me what kind of genre you'd play, I'd be like, I can't answer that, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's, it's something that a lot of the reviewers have said, that I tend to thread together a lot of genres. So that's a good observation. I don't really know how I do it. It's just kind of what I write.
I think it might be something in our generation too. I mean, we're around the same age, and growing up we listened to everything, you know. We didn't just listen to hip-hop or rap or something. We listened to everything that was on the airwaves. Exactly. So anything from heavy metal to pop music to even disco, you know. So I mean, everything is in there, you know. I think that's why, especially people in, I don't know, maybe 40 to 60, that age range, I mean, you know.
We had this thing called the radio.
Right. Yeah, and the radio, you know, you would hear a Led Zeppelin song followed by maybe a Helen Reddy song or a Joni Mitchell song, you know. It wasn't just one genre after the other that you were hearing.
Exactly right. Led Zeppelin was a big influence, and even a lot of the prog rock bands like Yes and Genesis and King Crimson. But then I also had this, you know, I love Jackson Browne and Paul Simon and Joni Mitchell, and one of my first albums was a John Denver album, you know, so it's all over the map. And like Randy Newman, who I think is one of the best songwriters ever, it's like you put it all in a mixing bowl and all those influences, and this is what happens.
All right.
I have fantasies of doing a progressive rock album one day, when or how or if that will ever happen. But I was also heavily influenced by electronic music, which I don't really do much of anymore, but I think about that too. You probably as well. I mean, we were around when New Wave came about, you know, and there was so much great music.
Yeah, I was listening just yesterday. I don't know if you've listened to this series of albums by Susanna Hoffs and Matthew Sweet. It's an album called Under the Covers, and they cover songs from each decade. So they did an album that was 60 songs that they covered, and they did a 70s, and their last one was an 80s covers. I was listening to that, and it was just, you know, incredible. Just the variety of songs that came out during the 80s, and it was really kind of cool.
It's really amazing. CNN has that great special on the 80s. It covers a lot of the music, and just, it was really, really good music. I mean, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you can't really, of course, there's always stuff that wasn't that great, but there was also a lot of great music.
Yeah, I think every decade has its disco duck, but but there's a, you know, for the most part, great music survives. We talked a little bit about this being your second album, but it's actually your third album, because you did a little EP for The Waiting Sky called Gone, 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 which is acoustic versions of the songs. Are you going to do the same thing with this one as well?
I don't know that that's on the books. I'm already working on songs for the next one, whenever that will be. So I've got so much new material. I don't think I would do that with this record, unless there was some kind of a demand for it. But I've already got about 30 tunes that I'm working on, with varying degrees of success in between trying to promote this record and book gigs and that kind of thing. And I think really it would be a whole new album.
Another thing I noticed that you're doing with this album, I think is unique, is that you're releasing it on vinyl as well.
Yes. I bought a record player probably 2 years ago and pulled out a lot of my old records. And I decided I love the experience of listening to vinyl so much that I needed to put out a vinyl. So that is available. I think we're working out the distribution right now. It's all done and it just sounds so good. It sounds really good on CD too, but there's something about that vinyl, as you said.
Will it be full of the liner notes and things, and you can sit there and read your liner notes while you're listening to it with your headphones on?
Well, it does not have the lyric sheet, but you can download it. It also has a bonus side. It's a double album, and it has a bonus side of live concert we played at the Mint in LA last October.
Very cool.
Yeah, there are live versions of the songs as well as the full studio album.
People will be able to get that through your website?
Yeah, through my website. It's not up yet, but it's almost up. I don't know when we'll go to air, but it may even be up by then. So
are you touring a little bit to support this album?
I am. I'm actually on my way to Nashville week after next to do some shows down there, and then in July we're playing some local shows, and then in August we're doing a bit of a Northeast tour, and then we're playing a festival at the end of August out here where actually Amy Helm is one of the headliners, Amy and Dar Williams, and then we're working on fall and winter dates as we speak.
So what does the band look like? Is it you or is it a full band?
The band shows are full band. It's you know, Matt, Jimmy, Frank, and myself as a four-piece. And we now, sometimes Conchetta's coming out with us, and sometimes there's a guy named Steve who plays keyboards and fiddle. And he and Conchetta have been switching off for the fifth person if we need a fifth.
And you mentioned festivals. Are you also doing bars? And what other kind of venues are you playing?
Yeah, we'll play anywhere. we're playing... Oh, and I should mention that I also go out solo. So Nashville, I'm going solo, doing a rounds at the Bluebird and places like that. In August, we're playing an outdoor festival in Vermont, and we're playing a coffee house in Massachusetts, and we're playing at the Bitter End in New York City, and then we're going to do World Cafe in Philadelphia.
That should give you a lot of good exposure doing World Cafe.
Yeah, I love that place. And it's a great show. I mean, it's a great live show. We have just very accomplished musicians. 3.5 years of playing together now, it's really pretty solidified. I'm really pleased with the ensemble.
So do you do mostly your original stuff, or you ever throw in a cover here or there?
We do a lot of originals. In fact, on Thursday, we just added a Grateful Dead cover. We do some Dead. We did an Allman Brothers cover in tribute to Greg. We play some Van Morrison. We play some James Taylor. We do a Stones cover. We do a really nice version of Imagine by John Lennon. We do some band songs. It depends on the length of the set. We did a 2-hour show on Thursday night. We did a bunch of covers, and it was so much fun. And we were able to stretch out and do some jamming. We have just, the musicians are so good. People really respond to that too, you know. It's a versatile group.
Sounds like a really fun show. Are you making it anywhere further west than Nashville?
We did a little tour of LA last October, and we're hoping to branch out. It's sort of a catch-22. It's, as you know, being an independent musician, you need to be able to draw people to get a gig, and if people don't know who you are, it's hard to draw people. So the venues don't necessarily want to take a chance on an unknown act, and, you know, I guess with good reason. So I think it's an organic kind of a thing, and we're just going to keep plugging away until enough people know us that want us to come to Kansas City, for instance.
Yeah. Well, we'll work on that. We'll try to get you out here.
We'd love to do it. I mean, we love playing. We love getting in the car and hitting the road. It's quite a lot of fun.
Tell people where they can purchase Shoot the Moon, a little bit about the places they can get the CD and your website.
Shoot the Moon is available pretty much everywhere, anywhere you can stream music. I prefer personally the physical CDs still and the records. I'm sort of a dinosaur that way. I think they just sound better. The CDs are available on Amazon, I know. And the vinyl should be available on my website fairly soon. It's www.rogerstreetfriedman.com. And would love to see people out at a show.
Are you, you have a YouTube page as well?
Absolutely. Just Roger Street Friedman on YouTube. And there's some live videos up there. We just did a new music video for the song Tidal Wave from the record. It's pretty cool. That song's about a tidal wave of love that's going to come sweep over the whole world and make us all happy.
Something we need right now. So are you also a Facebooker?
Absolutely. Facebook.com/Roger Street Friedman. And I'm on Twitter @RSF Music. And Instagram is @Roger Street Friedman. So we'd love to connect with you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, Roger, thanks so much. The new album is called Shoot the Moon. I highly recommend it. It's a great album, full of a lot of great songs and fun songs, too. It's just a fun album to listen to. So thanks again. It was great chatting with you again.
Great chatting with you, Kathy. I look forward to the next time.
Shoot the Moon by Roger Street Friedman, everybody.
Thank you.